Your roommate, Vivienne, knows already. She'll know eventually. What are you saying?
I'm saying what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
My lover's mouth was open, his eyebrows so close together that they had become a sideways exclamation point. I rubbed my hands over my jeans, adjusted my leather jacket, Ducati labels on the sleeves and the same Italian name across the back. Keith was dressed hip, had on baggy jeans and a cream sweater, low-top Skechers, and a brown leather jacket. He asked,
"What are you gonna do? You're pregnant. What are you gonna do?"
My throat tightened. His cellular chimed. I tried to see whose name or picture popped up, but he covered his phone with his hand, slid it across the table, hit it, picked it up like he was picking up cards in a poker game. I cleared my throat. He made an exhausted face, sighed, answered his cellular phone with attitude.
"What? With Billy? Starbucks? Talking?"
"Yes. Came here to talk."
"No.
I'll call you.
Bye."
He snapped his phone closed and fell silent. Lines grew in his forehead. He was disturbed about something else now. I asked, "Who was that?" He rubbed his hands together, made an impatient face that told me to back off. I hated it when he did that mess, tried to control me. Hated when any man tried to control me. A couple of brothers were at the table next to us. I recognized one of them, Raheem. He was the exotic one who was a cocoa brown mixture of Latin and African American, the slender man with the short, curly hair. Like most of us, he was part of what people called America's mixed race future. We made eye contact. I acknowledged Raheem with a short smile. I actually smiled. Felt warm. In that split second, I wished there were no Keith in my life and no baby growing inside my body. Keith motioned toward Raheem.
"Why is he staring at you?
You gonna tell me who that was on the phone?"
"Better learn how to respect me."
Keith did a "what's up, nigga?" head move at Raheem. Raheem was unfazed, a stubborn man. I said,
"That really wasn't necessary. What's up with you and that guy?"
"Nothing. I don't know him."
The conversation moved back to our situation. He shook his head and said,
"Pregnant.
What are we gonna do, Keith?"
Keith was an electrical engineer, a 40-year-old, almost divorced electrical engineer at an aerospace company. Handsome man with gray eyes and an easygoing way about him, his voice usually smooth and hypnotic. But tonight, he spoke in a stiff tone.
"Billy, I already have a daughter."
A chill ran over me. I knew what he was doing, building his argument, establishing a firm foundation, trying to turn an emotional moment into one of pure logic. My troubled sperm donor ran his tongue over his teeth before he softened his tone and preached his woes.
"My hands are tied. As soon as I walked out of the house and initiated the divorce decree, she filed for child support. Now Carmen gets an outrageous chunk of my income, but it's really revenge money. She has the house, and when we were in court, she wouldn't come down $40 on child support. $40 damn.
Tell me something I don't know. I have 2 degrees and I'm barely pulling down $50,000 a year."
I sighed, hoped he wouldn't remind me of the whole story. "I know that too.
She has the house that I bought with my money, the same money that helped get her evil ass through law school, and I'm trapped in a damn one-bedroom cave that I can't even afford. I can't afford to stay there, and I can't afford to move anywhere else."
I ran my fingers through my hair. A wavy mane in colorful browns, chestnuts, hues of caramel, a few streaks of blonde hair that flowed down to my tailbone. Scalp tingled a little. I reached up and scratched the crown of my head. He went on,
"And since I can't claim destiny, my taxes are going up $6,000. That's going to leave me with under $12,000 a year to live on. I can't live on that. Nobody can."
"Keith,
not when $8,000 of that goes to rent."
"Keith,
you know my situation.
I can afford to do this by myself."
"Billy, substitute teaching, bartending, you barely working yourself.
I can get a real job and do this."
"That's a joke. All of you fanatic women say that. Fanatic? And as soon as you realize that you can't do it alone, you realize it ain't easy, you come running and crying about how rough being a single mom is. Don't go there. How you thought you could do it alone. And even though you made the unilateral decision to have it, no matter how the man is against it."